Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
I got on my Christmas list this little thing right here. Okay? This is a smart tag, all right? And it's connected between my phone and my keys. Thinking that most of the time, losing both at the same time is unlikely, you can use your phone to make a little ring go on your keys, or you can hit this and it makes the phone ring and you can track it down by echolocation, I guess you'd call it. So the other day, and I got this in April, and I've got the app in here, and I learned how to do it. It was all practice, all good. So a couple days ago, I've been doing some work, and I had to get somewhere, it's time to leave, and like, where's my keys? So I did do the perimeter search, and then you do what you always do, ask my wife, have you seen my keys? Well, I can lose it well enough that even she can't find it. So I decided, I've got the perfect solution. So I grab my phone, go to my app, and it brings it up, and I can't remember how to use the app to find my phone. It probably took me 5 minutes to remember what I was supposed to do to make this little thing here ring and finally go off. But finally, they're all here. And if I ask you where my phone or my keys are, remember I had them right here for them, if you could help me out with that. But Jesus tells us that when we were come to his table, he said, do this in remembrance of me. I just want to think about remember today, and I want to think with you about how that works and how we can focus our mind on that. He says, I want you to remember. I don't want you to forget. I don't want you to get to a place where the things that are of value to me and the things that I do that are of eternal value to you, I don't want that to be stale. I don't want to get that dark and dim. So he's given us a means, far better than any electronic technology that we might think we've come up with. He's come up with a means for us to remember. He calls us regularly as his followers, regularly as his church, to gather around a table, gather together, and we take some bread and we take some juice and we use those elements that I love the way that he designed it. It touches all of our senses. This sort of multi-sensory experience accompanied with what's going through our mind and our hearts about what he has done for us to help us to remember. But sometimes we need to take that remembering an extra step, and that's what I want to accomplish, if the Lord would will, this morning. And it's simply this. Let's think about what it is we are to remember when we remember. Let's think about what is the content of that remembering. And honestly, it'll take far more than I would ever have time for today. But I'm going to give you some material to get you sliding down that road. Now, there's a number of verses we're going to look at. I don't typically have you jumping all over the place, but this is not typical, okay? So we're going to just look at some verses just to remember. First of all, I want to take you to John chapter 15 and verse 13. And by the way, there is a typo up there. That is not 3, it is 13, okay? So John 15, 13, a wonderful passage of Scripture, wonderful thing that the Lord tells us. It's in that passage where he talks about that he is the vine, I am the vine, you are the you're the branches and so forth. By the way, we're going to be looking at that later in the fall during our Sunday evening series as well. We're going to look at all those places where Jesus self-describes himself with the words, I am. This is one of those chapters. I just want to take a quick look at verse 13 if it's there in front of you. It says this, greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. There are things that jump out in that verse. Greater love. In other words, you can't get to any more valuable, any more large, any more significant love than someone who gives everything. And of all the things we have to give, our time, our possessions, our attention, our words, all those things that we can give as statements and acts of love, all of them absolutely pale in comparison to the fact that someone would give their life for someone. I just want just to put this word in there, which does not appear. Sometimes we look at the greatest, we laid it down as life, but go back to that second word, greater love. Love. He's talking about how much he loves us. He says, you want proof that I love you? Go back to the cross. You want proof that you are loved? Go back to the cross. You want a proof that I still love you? Just go back to the cross. But part of what we need to remember when we come to the table this morning, simply this, that we are loved. We are loved. And when we know we are loved, it does some very positive things for us. When we believe we are not loved, it does some very negative things for us. I suspect that most of us have spent enough time in living that we kind of feel that and can appreciate that in our experience base. You know, if we don't feel like, I don't feel like there's anyone loving me, it kind of pushes us in a negative way. Well, maybe I'm of no value, I'm worth, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with them? This can either lead to depression or irritation or all sorts of other things that go wrong in our lives. And sometimes it's not just what's on the outside, but sometimes our inner voice tells us. And certainly our enemy likes to amplify that voice so it's very, very loud in our thinking. And it's simply this, that how could anybody love me? How could I be loved? And again, it just takes us and sweeps us away like in a current taking us downstream to a place that we don't want to be. But when we feel loved, it takes us to that place where we can connect with God in a whole new way. By the way, it'll also change your disposition. It'll also bring some joy. It'll also elicit some words of praise back to God when we know that we are loved. And even if that's the only experience, the only expression, the only way that we understand that we are loved is to come back to a verse like this where Jesus says, here's the ultimate of love. Here's the supreme of love. Here's as great as it gets. Greater love has no man than this, than what? A man would lay down his life for people like us. So here's what we do when we come to the table. What should be remembering in our, being remembered in our mind? What should flash across our screen? Jesus is saying, I love you. And I want you to remember that. When the voices outside are crawling a different story, when the voices inside are telling us a different reality, we come back to this reality that you're loved. You're loved. I'm quite convinced that most of us probably do not spend enough time immersing ourselves in the depths of the love of God for us. And sometimes we spend a lot of time wasting time. Sometimes we spend a lot of time hurting ourselves by just not stopping to realize that we're loved. So somewhere along the line this morning, even in the privacy of your own heart, will you whisper to yourself, I'm loved, and I'm loved by the Savior, and then say something in thanks and return back to the Savior for that love. In John chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus says this, now is the judgment of this world, now the ruler of this world be cast out. We could just put the word victory into that phrase if you want to. Well, we also know who the ruler of this world is. Currently, in practicality, yeah, God is rules and God is in control, but prior to everything being finally finalized, Satan is loose and doing his bidding. And now Jesus is about ready to go to the cross. He's ready for that event of him dying, paying sin's price, being in the grave for 3 days, being raised by the power of God on that first day of that next week. And he says to us, victory! Victory is assured. Victory is promised. Victory has come, and in the new sense, someday victory will ultimately come. There's some things that come into our lives and come across our thinking that tend to tell us otherwise. We see people who we would think would have some allegiance and some respect for God above, instead curse him. We see those people that have certain movements and certain thoughts that we would think that they ought to allow the understanding that what they have and all that they have is a gift from Almighty God and should be treated with the sanctity that it deserves. But instead, we hear people who say there is no God. And if God exists, what does it matter? There are those who say that for us who believe in a Savior, and that we pledge our allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, they say that we are the ones who are mixed up, messed up, and foolish. We hear it all the time. Sometimes it's whispered subtly to us, and sometimes it's shouted from the media around us. Jesus simply says, rule this world, cast out, judged. Victory is assured. That's victory for you. That's victory for all of God's children. And sometimes we feel like we're not going to make it. Sometimes we get all pessimistic in that, but you understand? This victory brings us back to trust. Ultimate victory is assured. You can read the last chapter of the story if you want to. It's in the book. Sometimes that's if you're reading a novel or something like that and it gets a little scary, just go over to the last chapter and take a look and find how it ends and find some relief from your anxieties. He invites us to do that because he says this ruler of this world is indeed judged. By the way, the fact that you exist is a victory that God only could produce. The fact that you are still here is an indication that God has been offering to you his care. The fact that you will get there into the halls of heaven because of his victory. So when you come to the table, think about love. Think about victory. And in the quietness of your own heart, and there's going to be times of quietness even as we go through our procedure of distributing and getting ready to partake and reading the scriptures and so forth, let be flowing through your mind the thoughts of victory. And I would suggest to you, in the quietness of your own heart, you say something to God about that and offer your thanks and your praise. In Luke chapter 22, verse 15, there's an interesting phrase that Jesus makes. This is recounted in the Passover narrative. This is where Jesus is getting ready for the Passover, and he simply says this. He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He knew that the next morning would start a day of suffering. He knew that the next day would be a day that would end with his death. We knew that the next day would be a day in which everything would go in a very difficult way. He says, before all that takes place, my disciples, my followers, I have desired to have this Passover with you. The word that I kind of flash on my screen when I read that verse is the word that sometimes we don't apply directly to Christ himself, but it's that word that we would say is a word of fellowship. Indeed, God wants to be with people like us. Our Savior wants to be with people like us. Now think about this, okay? What's going to happen that night? He said, I want to be with you. I want you together. You know, Peter's going to deny him. The other 10 are going to abandon him, and then the 12th one, Judas, is going to betray him. It's not going to be a good night for his closest friends. It's not going to be a hallmark of their faith and their fidelity to Christ. He says, I want to be with you. In some ways, when we come to this table, the way of our Savior saying, I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. I want to interact with you. I want to know you. I want you to know me. I want us to spend some high-quality time together. Fellowship. And the great news is, he is always available. We're not always available to each other. There's some folks that are never available to us. You have to understand, he's always available. As close as a prayer thought in the privacy of our own hearts, we find that he is still there. And even in those moments when we're not actively thinking about him, he is also with us. One of the last things he said prior to leaving this earth, he says simply this, Behold, I am with you even to the end of the age. He didn't go anywhere. Yes, he's ascended into heaven, but there is that presence of his with us. God's presence is still with us. And he's not going to ever abandon us. So when we come to this table, I would suggest to you that you think about this. Think about that we're loved. Think about that we have victory. And think about that we have this opportunity to be with him in fellowship. One more. 1 Corinthians 1:18. If you want to turn there, I'll give you just a moment before I read it. There's one more thing that I would love for us to remember this morning. And I want to remember this morning. I want you to remember this morning. And as we do, it's going to change us. It's going to allow us the opportunity to worship on a different level than what is a big, what's probably the greatest fear of a service like this, that we just go through some motions. Yes, there's the bread, there's the drink. We say these things, we do these things, we sing those songs. We just go out unchanged, unfazed, even though we've been in the presence of God in a sacred and holy moment. We need to think, we need to remember, we need to, here's the content of our remembrance. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Those who are perishing, those who are lost, those who are outside of faith, to them this is the most foolish thing that could ever be imagined. That people like, seemingly intelligent people like us, will believe that something that happened nearly two millennia ago by this person who did some amazing things, but through his death, that has any bearing on me, or definitely any bearing on eternity. What a foolish thing. But I love how Paul ends it when he says this, but to those who are being saved, it is power of God. Isn't it interesting he uses the phrase, who are being saved, not who have been saved, or who will be saved, but who are being saved. Now, don't let that shake you up, okay? What he's simply saying is, yes, we are saved by believing in Christ. That is secure and unchanging. There's this sense in which we are living out and experiencing this salvation all along the road. And this all along the road of being saved is enacted by, enabled by, and mostly empowered by the power of Almighty God. You ever think about this? You ever think about this? That God's power is connected to you? That God has, in essence, hardwired his energy into you? That God is showing up in your life, empowering you? Oftentimes, we feel exactly the opposite, just so weak. And sometimes it looks that way. It looked like it on that Friday morning and afternoon when Jesus was nailed to the cross. It looked like he was weak. It looked like he was helpless. It looked like he was friendless. It looked like this was just all over. This was the end. This was the final act. But unbeknownst to those who were ridiculing him, the power of God was crackling through what was taking place. And through his death, a price was being paid that people like us, individually and even collectively, could never pay for ourselves. That the price for the sins of humanity was paid in full. That gift is now offered to anyone who believes. It will change you in this life. It will change you, your eternal destination, and will continue to just blast through us throughout all eternity. I feel so weak. When we come to the table, let the thought of the power of God be that which propels us on. Here's what I want you to remember. Here's what I think the scriptures want us to remember. Simply this. And say something to the Lord in the privacy of your own heart. Lord, I'm loved. Lord, I have victory. Lord, I have the opportunity to have fellowship with you. And I have the power of God attached to me. I deserve none of that. But I believe in faith in the Word of God that I have all of that. And I remember that it was purchased, it was enacted, it was enabled, it was begun when Jesus Christ did what these elements that he did the night before and is given to us would portray. That his body was broken, that his blood was shed, so that you and I can have power and fellowship and victory.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.